This call is being recorded.
Good morning, everyone. This is Renee Rentmeester. I'm the creator and executive producer of the Cooking Without Looking TV show and podcast. And today we have a very special guest. We have... How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you, Renee. How are you today?
I'm great. You actually reached out to us to have us on your podcast, and so, like, tag, you're it today.
Yeah. You know, my wife is a big fan of yours. She's been following the Cooking Without Looking TV show on Instagram, and over the last few months, I've been working to develop a radio/podcast myself. And she's like, oh, you have to get these guys on your show. And so, yeah, went out to your website, found the contact information, and Renee, you just responded so quickly. And
we've been having
some good conversations ever since. So thank you.
Well, thank you so much. That's very kind. And thank your wife for getting us together. That's wonderful. Well, David, tell us a little bit about your blindness journey.
Sure. Well, absolutely, Renee. So I have retinitis pigmentosa. About one in every 4,000 people have this disease. In my family, it's a hereditary disease, so I have a younger brother with it, and then two older brothers that do not have RP, and we can't find any other history in our family. So we are the lucky ones. And so I was diagnosed in late teens, early 20s, went to a major university in Southern California for my diagnosis. After spending all day there, going through battery of tests, using instruments that looked like they came out of Dr. Frankenstein laboratory. he came into the office and said, here's your diagnosis. Have a nice life.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And again, not having any experience with blindness, not having really any understanding, of what RP is. We started looking into it, met with a couple of people, some support groups there. And, for most people, it's just like when you walk into a movie theater, a darkened movie theater, is kind of what they're telling me my prognosis would be. So I wasn't set up for success in the beginning, is what I really trying to convey there. And so that really led me down this path of, and initially, in that denial, okay, well, I have this thing is going to lead me to, having some difficulty seeing in the dark, maybe, or whatever. And okay, I can deal with that. As vision continued to deteriorate and, started taking some action and learning how to, learn to live as a person who is blind. And, I think that the turning point for me really was, and the realization was when I was on my way to work, still driving, and I hit somebody on a bicycle. And fortunately, that person was okay. And I, understand that unfortunately for bikers and pedestrians, as being one nowadays, that is, not strictly due to the blindness, but in my case it was. And at that point, I realized I just can't, drive. I have to change and learn and accept my blindness and things like that. So I went through the vocation rehabilitation program, learned some new skills in terms of independent living, orientation and mobility, and how to use technology. And when I was doing this, I had a significant amount of vision left in terms of my acuity. So I was, bifocal or large print, I was okay. I was continue to work and do things like that. Then there was a point in my career where it just got my vision so bad, and I went and I talked to my employer and told him, you know, all these things that were going on in my life.
What were you doing at that time, David?
At that time, I was working for a small manufacturing company here in Arizona, and I was a buyer doing for anywhere from raw materials to machine tools, kind of help run the machine shop and supervise some of the staff. And I was also responsible for running and picking up parts or dropping off parts. So when I informed him that I can't drive anymore, that owner saw me as a liability and not as an asset anymore in the organization.
Aww.
And he, you know, I had worked there for a long time. I really felt, you know, again, a small company that was more very personal type thing, but he's like, you know, you can't go out into the shop anymore. You can't do this, you can't do that. And I'm like, well, you know, there's technologies, things that I can do to be able to do my job. And so I realized that I needed, you know, additional training. And, you know, for me to advance my career, I wasn't going to be at this company. So I went back to school, and I was on the 8-year plan. and during that time, my wife and I, we started our family. Finally, in 2000, I graduated from Arizona State University with a bachelor's degree in business, and with an emphasis on economics. And I did that majority of the time. I was still working full-time, you know, raising the kids, going, you know, taking the bus from work to the university, getting home about 10 o'clock at night, and doing some homework and going to bed. But I knew that in the end that was going to help me compete in the labor market as I go out and look for a job.
And did you find that it worked?
No, unfortunately. It got me into a lot of doors. And to be honest, Renee, I think, you know, sending out hundreds of resumes, phone interviews, and walking into an office and, you know, either with my cane or without my cane, there was fear of myself, right? And am I going to miss the person's handshake? Am I going to miss some nonverbal communication and pick up, you know, from the expression on the interviewer, reading, being able to read their face and things like that, to seeing a person walk in with a cane? So there was a lot of, I think, fear. And you know, I know there's a recent study out there that like 45% of hiring managers believe that there are no jobs in their organization that a person who is blind can do.
So oh my God.
So that really sets it, make, you know, an expectation for people who are blind when you're out there in the job market, trying to, not only do you have the skill set, but to get over that perception. And,
David, when you send the resumes out, do you put in there that you're blind, or they don't know until they see?
You know, that's a good question, Renee, and I think it's individual, but initially I did not put anything in my resume. Then as I tried different tactics, I would put in, you know, under maybe additional training, I would put in where I worked with the vocational rehabilitation on, different technologies and things like that, so that if somebody was reading it, they would see it. But it wasn't, hey, I'm blind and here you go. So,
take me or leave me.
Yeah, exactly. I feel that, you know, I want to be able to demonstrate that I have the skill set and I have the abilities, I have the knowledge, I have all of the qualifications to do the job, And I'd rather walk in and say, look, here's the technology. I sit down with, you know, a laptop or a note taker, or, you know, ask, you know, can I record this? Whatever tool works best for the individual, and say, I'm ready. Let's have this interview, right? And show that you are, you know, well dressed, your appropriate appearance, all those things that they're going to expect from a candidate. But now there's this person here who's blind, and they're using the technology that they're able to see that capabilities.
So he's basically educating them.
Exactly. Yes, ma'am. Exactly. And that kind of led me to Arizona Industries for the Blind. And it is an enterprise nonprofit organization. And you know, I've been working there now almost 17 years. And I've been very fortunate to advance my career there from, you know, coming in as a customer service position and working my way up to now being on the leadership team and helping make decisions and direction of the organization that creates meaningful employment for people who are blind in the state of Arizona.
Well, that's great. What kind of jobs do they have for people who are blind in Arizona?
Well, sure. You know, at our organization, and just in any organization, I think, other than, you know, at this point, maybe driving a forklift, there aren't many positions that someone who's blind can't do. And, you know, we hope to change that one day in the near future, where we're using, you know, like wire guided technology to drive a forklift, and someone who's blind being able to do that. So be on the lookout for that. But
amazing.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So our organization, we operate three different business units. We operate a fulfillment center where we provide third-party logistics, where we receive, store, pick, pack, and ship customer products and distribute them worldwide. So we have in there, that business unit, about 60 people, 45 who are blind, vision impaired, from having, you know, high visual acuity to total blindness. And they're doing all the tasks that you would expect in a warehouse. So from the receiving all the way through the shipping process, people who are blind are doing different tasks and duties. We also operate a digital data scan or document imaging business, where we convert paper records to electronic files for our customers. This is either state, federal, or even commercial customers. And we employ about 10 people in there. And right now, I think we have 3 or 4 people who are blind, vision impaired. Again, doing all the tasks from preparing the document, scanning, indexing, and quality control. And then the third business unit is a retail-based supply centers on the military bases in Arizona. So these are an outlet for active duty military personnel who can come into the store or shop via our e-commerce portal and buy the items that they need to be successful in their mission. So these could be uniforms, if they're deploying, boots, tactical gear, medical equipment and supplies to maintenance, repair, and operation items. And our customer service specialists are helping people face-to-face, answering phones, stocking shelves, you know, anything that you'd see if you walked into one of the big box retail stores that you're seeing those representatives doing their daily tasks. We're doing the same thing. One of the things that is really unique about us is that we really focus on the talents of people and their abilities. So if you have that desire to learn, to grow, and to advance your career, that path is there. If you are, you know, one of those people who, you know, I just come in, I put in, you know, 110%, and I want to go home at the end of the day, and I love what I do, that's perfectly fine with us as well. You're more than, you know, it takes really everybody, all kinds of people to be able to, you know, run a business in any business. So we just value people based on their talents and their desires.
It seems to me like that's what it always should be, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It really should be. You know, there is I see through social media and then other outlets that, you know, the focus on diversity, equity, and inclusion. And so it's great to see that organizations are putting a bigger emphasis on that. And I'd love to see that emphasis continue to grow and make sure that they're including people with disabilities in those groups, because you know, there's a lot of people that are blind or have other disabilities that have the desire, have the skill set that want to work, but based on, you know, that perception, don't get those opportunities.
Right. Well, you know what? It's interesting. That's the reason we started our show, because we realized that there weren't a lot of people who knew, there weren't people who knew a lot of blind people. And so they have this old, old perception, like from the 1940s or something, that blind people probably just like sit at home in the dark somewhere and don't do anything. Perhaps they go over to the refrigerator for snacks. But, you know, and we wanted to change that perception. And we do that. We focus on the abilities. Oftentimes when people talk to me, they'll say, well, you know, is the show teaching blind people? And I said, no, the show, the blind people are teaching all of us. And so I'm glad that you actually found your niche in your work.
Yeah, you know, that's so true. And Renee, as I advanced my career, I think that was one of the biggest things that I learned as I progressed through my journey of blindness, right? As I mentioned earlier about not knowing anybody else who's blind. And when I got to Arizona Industries for the Blind, I was able to really connect with people who, you know, are every day getting up to go to work, to be able to support their families, to support themselves, be independent, and they're just people. And that, you know, that fear that we talked about, it really goes away when you become more comfortable and when you become understand that, you know, blindness is just, you know, one part, one aspect of your life that we all deal with. And as my role as the community and public relations manager, I get to go out and educate. So when I get into, you know, one of these rideshare vehicles and someone says, you know, first thing out of your mouth is, you know, how blind are you? And, you know, the conversation starts. So through these many years of having these conversations with people on the bus or in these rideshare vehicles, I said, you know what? What better way to educate and to help people become more comfortable to say, hey, you know, I met this guy, or, you know, there's this guy that I ride in to work with every day, and, you know, he's heading to work and he's got this great attitude, and he's, you know, supporting his family, whatever, you know, and it helped demystify what being blind is. And so, well, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, no. Well, that's just it. Demystifying it, because I think oftentimes people who are sighted are afraid to ask any questions because they're afraid of you know, just making you feel bad or something. And honestly, after like these 21 years, I haven't met a single blind person who wasn't like quaking at the bit to answer questions, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, all these questions that, that arise when you're out in public really led me to that, as you mentioned, creating my own podcast and changing that perception of blindness one conversation at a time. And that's really how we're going to do it, how your show, whether it's this podcast or your TV show, and you're having guests on and you're living life, right? And cooking is
right.
One of those essential things that we have to do.
And most people eat.
Yeah, right? So it really helps. I think it just is a great way to create the opportunity to have the conversation and someone to go, oh, okay. So it's not, and it's for both, I think, from my perspective, it's both sides, someone who's blind that is either just recently experiencing it or someone's experienced and wants to try and do something new or different or, adventure outside of their norm to see that there's somebody who's blind that is doing it and help maybe motivate that person as well, like my peers did for me.
Yes. And well, did you want to, as we say, the cooking without looking, did you want to share one of your recipes with us today?
Yeah, I would love to share one of my recipes with you. I love barbecue. I have an easy way of doing it and doing it in the oven and making oven-baked barbecue spare ribs or pork ribs. It's one of my favorite and kind of go-to meal.
Oh, and I looked over that recipe this morning, and it looked amazing. I could have eaten it first thing this morning. It looked so wonderful.
Yeah, that is really like one of my favorites. And it's funny because my mom likes to make ribs as well, and so we're always comparing and sending pictures of look at my rack of ribs, and my rack of rib is better, and my kids whatever
right.
It is, so it's kind of a running thing in my family to be able to share a recipe and cook, as we often will sit around the dinner table and have conversations with having all my kids together on a Sunday meal, and what I really love. And
oh, that's nice. Well, so you can share away, and we'll see, maybe we'll have rib wars in our family.
Okay, I'm gonna pull it up here real quick if you don't mind. I apologize.
No,
my computer went to sleep, and I'm trying to wake it up a little bit here.
It's going to be on our website today. It's going to be at www.cookingwithoutlookingtv.wordpress.com. That's www.cookingwithoutlookingtv.wordpress.com. And you can find David Steinmetz's oven baked coffee ribs.
Yeah. So here we go. So the ingredients that you're going to need for this recipe include 3 tablespoons of brown sugar. I like using the brown sugar made from the Splenda. Try to go that route.
Mm-hmm.
2 tablespoons of instant coffee. 2 tablespoons of sea salt, 1 tablespoon of smoked paprika, or you can just use regular paprika, 1 tablespoon of chili powder, 1 tablespoon of white pepper, 1 tablespoon of oregano, 1 tablespoon of garlic powder, 1 tablespoon of garlic powder, 1 tablespoon, or excuse me, teaspoon of cumin, half teaspoon of mustard powder, and then 2 racks of pork ribs. And I always remove on the back, on the rib side, is a membrane that you want to remove before marinating or seasoning the meat and cooking it. This makes it a lot more tender, helps the seasoning get into the meat when you're cooking it. I find the easiest way to do this is lay the rib down on like a cookie sheet or a baking pan, and then right along the rib edge, you'll feel the membrane. You pull it out. I use like a paper towel to hold on to it because it is a little slippery, and then just kind of pull that membrane down the backside of the ribs. So now that once you have all your ingredients together, you'll want to preheat the oven to 350 degrees. In a small bowl, you mix all the spices together. Then what I typically do is I get some yellow mustard and I'll just baste on some of that mustard on both sides of the ribs. This helps the seasoning stick to it and helps really build kind of like a bark in a sense on the meat when it's cooking. Once you've done that, you rub the spices on both sides of the meat. You'll lay down some foil and parchment paper, enough to cover the ribs. And what you're gonna do is place the ribs and place some rib side up in the middle of the foil and parchment paper, and then create you're going to create like a pocket or just basically seal the ribs to keep all the steam and moisture in as it's cooking. You're going to cook the ribs for about three and a half hours, depending on if you like those ones, just fall off the rib, then you can cook a little bit longer, but you'll go until the rib is tendered when you poke with a fork. Then you're ready to begin eating these wonderful ribs and putting on whatever sauce you like, or even going without it, because the coffee rub itself gives a great flavor to the pork rib.
Now, what kind of a flavor does the coffee give to the rib? Does it make it a little tangier, or what does it do? What particular flavor does it give to it? Or enhance.
Well, I think, yeah, so what the combination of the coffee really brings out kind of a rich, kind of bold kind of flavor to it. Not so much tangy. That tangy will come from your sauce that you put on, but it just brings out a real bold kind of full flavor of the pork meat itself.
Oh man, that sounds so good. Well, as I said, if you guys who are listening like David's recipe, you can go to our website today at www.cookingwithoutlookingtv.wordpress.com, and you can give those ribs a try this weekend and look for another one of David's recipes. David, what was it with the cauliflower?
Yeah, this is another one that I'd love to go with the ribs that we always kind of do together. It's called twice baked loaded cauliflower. So kind of like having mashed potatoes with your ribs, and or potatoes always goes good with barbecue.
Right.
Yeah. So that's one of our kind of, if we're gonna have ribs, we're having this with it.
Oh my God, that sounds so good. I'm going to try that. Well, David, tell us if those in the audience would like to reach out to you, especially if they are in Arizona, how would they reach out to you?
Sure. So you can find me through Arizona Industries for the Blind at www.azif. Like Foxtrot, azifb.com. So azifb.com. And you'll be able to find my contact information there. You can also connect with us on Facebook, and or you can reach out through Instagram or any of the other social medias.
Well, thank you so much for being with us today, David. And as we like to say, thank you for helping us change the way we see blindness. You have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Renee. It was a lot of fun. I appreciate you allowing me to come on and share my story and share my recipe.
Of course, of course. It was wonderful. I look forward to being on your radio podcast.
Very good. Thank you again.
Okay, take care.
Bye.